Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. I'm your co-host, Steve K9 Kim, and joining me, he's back home, off the road, and this is why it's a special Tuesday edition of TNR Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya. It's interesting, during Thanksgiving, I just have to ask you one thing regarding your little mini trip. Will the South rise again?
Will it? I don't know if it ever went anywhere. pretty trippy, man. I mean, you know, a bunch of times my wife's family, my family live back there, and you drive through the South and you kind of have all the stereotypes and you wonder, but I'll tell you, this year as opposed to last year, seeing Confederate flags, a whole different story. I actually was in like the worst, best place I could have been. I went to the only Mexican restaurant in the town that they take me every year, and they have great food, Mexican people working there. There's actually a gay Mexican gentleman working there, but I had to pick the one day that there was like a biker convention in town. So it's wall-to-wall bikers, Mexican restaurant, and me staring at a guy wearing a Confederate flag shirt on my last night there. So I think the South is rising, Steve, to answer your question. Happy Monday.
Gabriel Montoya, he wishes he was not in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Once again, 347-215-7598. And if you want to send in a question via Twitter, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. And I see the president, Andrew V. Kennedy, has just checked in. But let's get started with round number one. From the Cosmopolitan Chelsea Theater in Las Vegas, televised by HBO for the WBO Super Featherweight title of the world, Vasyl Lomachenko improves to 7-1, making Nicholas Walters capitulate after seven rounds. Gabe, listen, being a professional boxer takes a lot more courage than the average human being possesses. It's an incredibly dangerous endeavor. It's not for the faint of heart. However, with that said, was Nicholas Walters completely unjustified in lack of fortitude and just capitulating and waving the white flag as easily as he did?
I don't think he waved it easily. No, I think he was justified. I just watched the fight again about an hour ago. And you really watch him, he's kind of in the fight a little bit, the first round, maybe the second. He starts to throw some body shots, get some jabs in there. But he quickly just gets overtaken and found out to be a pretty basic guy who used his size at the lower weight classes and kind of ran up against a guy that didn't matter. Lomachenko was on such another level in terms of boxing IQ, the tools he brings, the way he uses them, his footwork, his IQ. The guy, I can't wait to see him get to 15 fights or 10 fights. You know, he just seems like the sky is the limit. And there's a lot of factors, a long layoff and everything, but just looking at it, Walters was looking at another few rounds, you know, all the way maybe to the 12th of getting battered. He was starting to get hurt, I think, in that last round, kind of even turning and jogging away at times and just in a position he'd never been in. So, I mean, this sport is about finding out what your character is in that ring, and we found out his. I don't think he's a quitter, but I think his capacity for change and his ability to absorb punishment aren't very high. We found that out.
I think this fight, we found out a few things about Nicholas Walters. He's a bit of a front runner, and also, this is not 2020 hindsight. Last week, I predicted a pretty easy, solid, dominant victory for Vasyl Lomachenko, but if you look at Nicholas Walters' resume, and he really built up this incredible reputation as this fearsome destroyer, was at 126, where he had an incredible size advantage. At 130, I think that's been mitigated. We saw that in the second half of the Jason Sosa fight. Also, look at the big-name scalps on the Axeman's record. Nonito Donaire and Victor Chinian, They were Hall of Famers probably at 112 to 115. So there was some very, very favorable matchup, and perhaps a bit of a mirage was created as it relates to Nicholas Walters. But with that said, Vasyl Lomachenko with that foot speed, the angles, the ability to disappear, the pivots. I called him this on the three knockdown rule with Mario Lopez. Gabe, he truly is, with his footwork and his dexterity and his body control, the Baryshnikov of boxing.
It's really beautiful to watch because it's, you know, it's trying to think of who else fights this way. And, you know, Martinez, Sergio Martinez was very movement-based, southpaw. But it's the technique as well that Lomachenko brings to the table. I know Dave is probably going to call in at some point. Can't stand the guy. Thinks he's boring. Thinks his footwork repeats itself. But I think, you know, looking at what Igis Klima said to you, we've seen 50% of what that guy can do. One, he's kind of surpassing all expectations in the amount of fights that he's taken and the type of opposition he's taken in that short amount of time. But we haven't seen anybody really push him besides Salido to the edge. And even that, he pushed him to the edge of losing, not to the edge of being knocked out. I think Vasyl Lomachenko will go right through him like a hot knife through butter the second time around. I don't think it'll be as competitive at all. But this is a guy that is just – he's just beautiful to watch. I don't see I used to joke when he had a boring fight in there, and I called him White Rigo. But watching him, the way he pushes the pace, the way he mixes in his shots – where you'll throw the off-speed pitch, but you'll throw a bunch of them and then mix in something hard from an odd angle. It's just textbook boxing and just next level.
Gabe, I agree with you. I thought he was pale Rigondo. In his fight with Croatia last year, I said this is monotonous and boring, and it's dominant. Here's the difference, though. And, again, it irked my nerve when I heard, to quote Cool Modi, when Guillermo Rigondeaux trying to throw out the race card about basically saying, well, how come certain fighters can be known as the Matrix, but not Andre Ward, Floyd, or me? There's a difference, specifically with Guillermo Rigondeaux. Lomachenko is actually trying to evolve his style, and if that fight does not get truncated prematurely by Nicholas Walters, we probably would have seen a highlight reel finish from Lomachenko. Something that we would have been like, wow, did you see that finish? Did you see that exclamation point? Did you see that ending? Lomachenko gets what capitalism is. He understands that professional boxing is a business, and it is entertainment, and it is about not just winning, but style points matter. A certain concept that is completely lost on Guillermo Rigondeaux and his clueless band of sycophants. Second of all, Lomachenko's trying to learn English to become more marketable. That's another thing. And instead of having Caribe Promotions, Lomachenko is in the good graces of Top Rank and, more importantly, has a manager telling him the flat-out truth in Igis Klimas. So I think, to me, to say that they're similar in their amateur background and their prodigious talent. But, Gabe, you know, and I know, that if it was Nicholas Walters in there with Rigondeaux, he may have been dominated technically just the same. But there's no way Nicholas Walters, in my opinion, would have ever quit against Rigondeaux, who would have just coasted for all 12 rounds.
Well, it depends. I mean, when you really attack, I think it's a different fight, you know, because I think, one, you know, Rigo would be much smaller in the fight. He's a power guy, but he prefers to box. But if you bother him and it turns into a shootout, he's bringing a couple of guns with him. So I would have to see how the fight played out. I mean, the problem with Rigo's thing, I don't think it's any surprise to anybody. Mainstream media, from television, movies, TV, they love them some white people. And if there's a black guy that does something, you know, Elvis, as opposed to Little Richard. But that said, this is boxing, and you can transcend race. You can transcend your color in terms of marketing if you have an exciting style. I mean, Felix Trinidad wasn't exactly, you know, from the cast of 90210. But he spoke the international language of love for boxing. He was exciting. He got knocked down. He got up. He knocked you out. He threw a lot of punches. Now, Floyd, Rigo, I love me some Rigo, and Andre Ward don't throw a lot of punches. Yes, they're defensive masters, but what Lomachenko does differently is that he's pushing the pace, and he uses offense to keep you occupied, is mindful defensively, but he's looking to hit you as much as possible. And those early left hands, you know, Walters landed a couple times, and Lomachenko came back with three punches. He didn't just come back with one good counter clinch or one good counter duck under and move and go back to the jab. He came back at him and fought and kept turning, and it was like a whirling dervish in there. That's what people like to see. So Rigo, you know, yeah, racism exists in the world, but you can't throw it at everything. It's certainly not in this case, I don't think.
Gabe, looking at the landscape, here's what I think. Vasyl Lomachenko is 7-1. That's 8 fights. He's won 2 separate major championships at 126 and at 130. It says here, I know they have designs on winning a 135-pound title before their 10th fight. You know what? But when I look at the landscape with Jason Sosa, Francisco Vargas, Jezreel Corrales, Tak Mira, Jose Pedraza, and an Orlando Salido, I think there's plenty of work to be done at 130. And my personal preference is, because I think there's a storyline, and I think it's a favorable style, and there's also the revenge factor. Personally, I'd like to see the Salido rematch in the beginning part of 2017, as both Bob Arum and Igis Klimas have made it clear their goal is to get Vasyl Lomachenko on the Golovkin plan of 2012 and 2013 and 14. They like to keep him as active and as exposed as possible to really get out there and for him to become, I don't want to say a transcendent star. He's still a small Ukrainian, but I want to see this thing grow because I use the word evolve. I think the best is still yet to come, and I want to see if he can add on to this skill set from a professional perspective.
Yeah, and I think the ceiling is very high with him. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world. And, you know, usually the glamour divisions are 135 to 147 for the little guys. But we can get some great wars out of the featherweight. There's no question, and at 130. And like you said, you named off all those guys. I want to see all those fights. There's just – you could just keep churning it out. And he's going to have to take a little break here and there and take an easy one for himself just because of where he's at in his career. But – even still, I mean, looking at the way they run him, it doesn't seem like they want to be around for a long time, and they don't seem to want to waste a lot of time. And that's – how can you not like that? People were – I think it was you were mentioning, you know, the amount of people that Oscar De La Hoya fought, and Redman said he was like the only guy to fight like 4 pound-for-pound number ones. This is the kind of guy that could bring us that again. Maybe not rock star status like Oscar, but certainly the level of competition. They seem to want to do that. It's awesome.
And by the way, I hate to burst the bubble – but the Guillermo Rigondeaux fight with Lomachenko, I'm with Bob Arum when he said, well, listen, I'm trying to market this guy with his ability to be a star. That right there is a shit fight, okay? He'd snooze him out and win easily. Who needs it? I'm completely with Bob. And by the way, logistically, one guy's at 130, the other guy's at 22.
Yeah,
I don't see Lomachenko going back down to a catch weight at 126. I just don't see it as being feasible, Gabe.
That's absolutely right. To me, Bob, talking about styles and that, you know, I don't know. I don't like to do fights on paper. And he loves to just shit on Rigo and say that he's always going to be unexciting. When you look at his last few fights, that's actually not the case. But, you know, but that's Bob. He I don't know. He promoted the guy like hell. And he didn't get a lot of help from his guy, but, you know, when you're shitting on your own fighter to HBO, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Bob and a lot of love for him in this situation. I think they really didn't help him. I don't say they did completely wrong by him, but I just don't buy that. But your point about the weight is spot on. I think these two ships have passed each other, and it's kind of like people arguing about Ward and Triple G. It's like, can we look at the weights and what's actually feasible, and then look at the full plate that at 130 for Vasyl. Worry about those fights. Stop being fight night. This isn't fantasy boxing. It's actually.
And by the way, Rigondeaux's with Rock Nation. They're not exactly the easiest group to deal with.
Oh my God.
And a serious question. What's on the table for him right now?
I don't know. I don't even know if he's met Jay-Z at this point, the way that company seems to be run. So, you know, yeah, it's a shame. You know, I don't think anybody really knew what to do with the guy. And he's also a small guy. It's like, I think even if he was blonde hair and blue eyed and the same size and skills, you know, he still didn't throw a lot of punches per round. Yeah, you got power, but if you don't shoot your guns, who cares how big they are?
Gabe, speaking of Jay-Z and Rock Nation, on this HBO broadcast, which I describe as boxing way, way, way after dark, as the feature bout did not start till about midnight Eastern time. They did show the Kovalev Ward replay. Watching it again with about a week to digest everything, any thoughts second time around, Gabe?
You know, I actually didn't watch it this – I watched it twice before last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. You know, and I to me, it just – there was not an Andre Ward win. It got closer on my card, 114-113 for Kovalev. But you just don't get knocked down and dominated like that early on and then back up all night. And I know you landed some good body shots. But, you know, there's four judging criteria. I didn't feel that Ward won all of those on a consistent enough basis to win the fight.
Gabe, watching it again, I thought Harold Lettman had it spot on. 116,
yeah, he's good.
111. And by the way, I get the sense that Max Kellerman absolutely heard the criticism and the derision on social media when he kind of came out in this broadcast this past weekend and gave a mea culpa and said, well, watching it again, I think Kovalev won. I'm not going to lie, that surprised me.
It's surprising that Max backtracked, but I mean, way to have, I don't know, no backbone. Maybe he should stop talking so much during the fight and actually watch it. That was one of the things I noticed about with Vasyl Lomachenko. I was watching the fight a second time, and you know, Roy Jones, I think him being a boxing trainer or you know, and getting more experience of that, he's actually become much more articulate. He can see it great. He's a great fighter. But he's really articulating things and taking you moment to moment through the fight in some ways the way that Manuel Stewart used to, or, you know, great ex-fighters that are now commentators. But Max, every time he speaks, it's just this esoteric, what I feel, you know, we don't ever see a guy with this much technique and athletic ability. Usually it's one or the other, and just shut up. He doesn't add anything to the broadcasts. And a lot of times, if you close your eyes and just listen when he's talking, you miss a lot of the fight. And Roy will go back and say, well, this has been going on, kind of like why you've been talking. I just can't stand Max. For that very reason, he adds nothing for me to the broadcast. Jim brings experience. So does Roy, along with technical know-how. What the hell does Max bring?
Moving on with the next round, brought to you on the Leave It in the Ring radio network, Gabe Montoya, Steve Kim here till at least 8:30 Pacific time, and also we have bonus championship rounds going all the way up to 9 p.m. Gabe, it was announced last week that the grudge match will happen from London, March 4th, David Haye versus Tony Bellew. Yay or nay on this heavyweight matchup?
Yay. I'm all about Tony Bellew. I just like the guy. I love how much trash is going to be talked for this fight. Hey, it's a trip. He's kind of a special attraction at this point. What a strange kind of chapter in his career. The guys he's been fighting, he's kind of hemming and hawing about where his direction is going. And I think this can legitimize him, even though, you know, Bellew's not really a heavyweight. I think he can handle the weight, and I think he can handle a guy like Hay. Who do you like in this fight? It's a weird fight, style-wise.
Given that it's at heavyweight, and I didn't hear of a catch weight, like a certain limit, like 220, I still think David Hay is a bigger, stronger guy. Here's another question. Is there drug testing? What's the protocol for this fight?
That is a really good question. I don't know if Hay is part of the – is it a WBC-sanctioned fight, or is it just kind of a special attraction fight?
Right. I mean, is it VADA, USADA, or NADA? We want to know. We're inquiring minds.
I'm looking at the rankings just really quick, and David Hay is not a WBC top 15-ranked fighter, so he doesn't have to be in the program. That's what's a requirement to be ranked by them. You know, he's ranked number 7 in the WBA. So, you know, that's a good question, who's doing the drug testing. And really, you know, anymore, you got to be doing it year-round for it to even matter. He's number 4 on the WBO. So, yeah, that's – if I'm Tony Bellew, well, I don't even know. I don't even want to get into speculation, but there should be drug testing.
If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We'll take your phone calls in a few minutes. Let's get to the Twitter timeline. And, of course, we start off with the president – Andrew V. Kennedy. How would you promote Loma in order to get the most out of his skill set? Also, why does it seem Bob prefers Loma for Pack and not Terrence Crawford? Well, first of all, Gabe, I think with Loma, you got to get him out there. I think two fights a year is simply not enough. I do like the three maybe four-fight plan, and just work off in volume, much like a Kovalev and Golovkin? And why does Bob prefer Loma for Pack and not Crawford? Could it be because maybe Crawford, he feels as though it's too big and maybe too quick, as opposed to Lomachenko, who might be too skilled but not as sizable as Crawford? That's just my guess.
Styles, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a much more fun fight. Both guys let their hands go. Two southpaws, they're comparable size. I mean, I think Manny probably could get down to 135, 140. That's an interesting fight. I kind of think Lomachenko is kind of too small for Pacquiao in some sense. But,
and by the way,
it's weird.
Gabe, we have to just look at the facts. And I'm not projecting ahead, but as of right now, Terrence Crawford is a guy that's been on HBO longer, has a real significant fan base in Omaha. You talk to Jim Boone, they're going to do maybe their biggest crowd ever at the CenturyLink Center on December 10th, where he's consistently done 12 to 13,000. Right? And Vasyl Lomachenko, for as sublime as his skills are, still fighting in a little theater of about 1,800. So when you say, well, who's the bigger draw, there's no question. It's Terrence Crawford. So, but again, things can change. Here's one from Big Drama Show. What was with everyone who changed their scoring of the Kovalev-Ward fight thinking last week? Well, the ones who changed it to Kovalev, they probably watched the right fight for the first time. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think Max, you know, we called the fight together once, and you call fights all the time. It isn't easy, you know, to be able to see the whole thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anybody could do Max's job. I'm saying most people could do it better. Maybe he watched the fight, you know, and he's not doing all the other things. I don't know. But have you ever watched a fight like that and then the next week really swung the other way?
Very, very few times. Most of the times I find that what I saw that night is what I'm going to see the next week or forever. I mean, I'm not saying there's close fights where I say, wow, maybe I flipped this round or that round. The one fight where I really said, wow, I gave it to the wrong guy the night of, and the next day I saw it, and I said, it was Jose Luis Castillo, Floyd Mayweather won. That's the one fight I really said, I needed to watch that again. Here's a tweet from Joshua, hashtag run the table. When will Salida Miura be rescheduled? In my opinion, I don't think it will be. I think Miura will be having a fight that will not be Orlando Salido, and that's why Orlando Salido is now openly calling out Vasyl Lomachenko. And here's one from Easy Ed from England. Ain't no Gennady Golovkin at 30 to 35. Who the heck beats Loma? Think he befuddles Linares and Mikey Garcia and retires a boiled down Pacquiao. I don't know. We don't know what he's like at 135, though. Size does matter at the world class level, Gabe. When the talent is equal, it does matter.
God, I'd love to see Lomachenko versus Linares. That is a hell of a fight. There's great skill, speed, you know. Could Linares pull it off? Possibly. I mean, there's so many good fights for Lomachenko. That's why I just like the Rigo fight. When you look at the weights, you're like, I don't want to see Rigo fight at featherweight or 130 and lose. That's not probably what's going to happen, but, who knows. With his promoter, he may never fight again.
Here's one from A. Flores. Does Roy Jones Jr. die a little inside every time Max says Loma learned to box, not just rely on athleticism?
Yes, he does. He really does. I feel bad for him. It's like, thanks for keep repeating that phrase all night long, Max. I'm sure Roy loves it.
347-215-7598. We have about 66 minutes left in regulation and a little bit more if you want to talk to us beyond that. Gabe, let's get to the phone lines.
All right. 623, you're live on the next round.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's everything going? Adrian,
good. What's going on?
Arizona.
Good.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey. Yeah, I know. The Cardinals suck. Yeah, I know.
What? But they're going to kill Bruce Arians. Literally, Bruce might die of a stroke watching what he's having to see on the sidelines. Poor guy.
I bought tickets, and I'm flying to L.A. to see Cardinals-Rams New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And I'm like, you know, it's going to be great to see a Rams game after 20-something years with my dad, but, boy, it could be brutal on the other
hand. Don't expect Eric Dickerson on the sideline.
You know what? He got lucky. He got lucky, by the way. And by the way, guys, didn't I tell you that Eric Dickerson's show is a must-listen? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, so good.
I'll be surprised if Jeff Fisher survives this season or after this season. I'll be surprised if he still has a job.
So, in other words, Eric Dickerson will be back on the sidelines next August.
There you go. Well,
hey,
I wanted to talk
next Sunday.
I want to talk a little bit of boxing. I watched the replay of Kovalev Ward. I'm spot on with Harold Lettelman. I agree with his scoring. I think the only good thing we got out of the Kovalev Ward is Yandel not singing this time.
Yes.
Yeah. And Nicholas Walters, I wouldn't be surprised if Top Rank releases him or gets rid of him like they did with Diego Magdaleno and Glenn Tapia. What do you guys think about that? Do you think Walters?
I asked Bob yesterday, does Nicholas Walters now become persona non grata? Is he a tough sell? Bob was realistic, but he was also empathetic, saying, hey, yes, it's going to be hard for me to say, hey, how about this fight with the Axeman? But he also says, Steve, this guy had never lost. He had never really gone through psychologically being befuddled like that, and it really affected him. I get the sense that as long as Nicholas Walters is willing to play ball with Top Rank, take short money, put in a few victories, or I like to call it the Betty Ford bouts, also known as rehab, you never know. I still think at 130 against other guys like Solito, Jason Sosa, Francisco Vargas, you're telling me with those styles he couldn't compete? I mean, we are a very forgiving society.
So he lives to see another day on HBO?
Well, no, not yet, though. Not yet. Again, he's going to have to go back to double and triple A before he sees the big leagues again, in my opinion.
And he,
did you want to add anything?
Let me ask. Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, what did he make for this fight as opposed to what he turned down?
He turned down 500 and he took 300.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, and at the same time, I think a big part of, and I haven't heard many people talk about this. I mean, he brought it up. I'd been off for a year, but I think it may have been the weight. He kind of looked like a spent bullet in there, couldn't really get off, couldn't get a rhythm. You would think that he would just try to sell out at some point and let his hands go. He's the bigger guy or seemed to be, and he just never got it going. And I can't help but think that he was at some point like, it's just not my night, and I could feel it physically that I'm not gonna lather into this fight, so I'm out of here. I don't really blame him for that. I liked Bob's assessment. I mean, you know, everybody loses for the first time in a different way, and this was his way. I don't see him as a quitter. I think he saw that, you know, I'm going to get beat up and maybe knocked out, and then where am I really going to be? At least this way he can have a few wins and we'll forget about this.
Yeah. Another one I wanted to touch on is, like you say, Steve, you know, Tom Alford went Jimmy Hoffa on us, but he was seen with Eddie Hearn. He was seen with Eddie Hearn. I don't know, is Triple G Frotch? Is that something we can take seriously, or is it another Klitschko Joshua masturbation, whatever you're talking about?
Yeah, mental masturbation, one of my favorite terms. which is not, by the way, as fun as physical, real masturbation, but I digress. I was able to text with Tom Loeffler. I'm going to see him tomorrow at the Oleksandr Usyk media luncheon. He told me, because I asked him, what is the latest with Gennady Golovkin? He says, I'm working to finalize the fight with Danny Jacobs for March. Take that for what you will. And I hope that's not mental masturbation.
I hope not either. I know, speaking of masturbation, the person I know who's not is Lawrence on Insecure.
Did he make a great deposit at the bank?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wow.
That's kind of a buzzkill, though. No more Insecure till next year.
I agree.
Westworld, that one more episode. I don't know what to watch. You know, the only thing they have is the Young Pope in January.
Yeah.
The Young,
I don't like
God.
That. I'm not gonna give that a shot. But yeah, Insecure.
That's not pulling me in at all. I left the church.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know how much you love organized religion there, Gabe.
Yeah.
All right, all right, listen, we got to get running, okay?
All right, take care, bud.
Oh, by the way, Gabe, I hope we didn't spoil that for you. Did you watch the season finale of Insecure on HBO?
You know, I didn't. I watched the first episode halfway through. It just wasn't – I didn't care about those people.
Mm, okay.
I just couldn't do it. But Westworld, I'm all caught up. That show's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, this
that thing –
last episode was – whew.
It's got more layers than a blooming onion at Outback Steak. It really does.
That whole – I didn't see any of that coming with that character Bernard. And then what they did with this last episode, I was like, where the hell is this going? And the way they tied him and Dolores together, it was just – what great writing, man. I was like, I can't believe it's going to be a series finale. I want more. I want 12
No, they're
going to
have a season two, though. They've ordered a season two. Yeah.
Oh, that's – I've been in the South, so I didn't catch that.
347-215-7598. They have cable in the South, Gabe. Anyway, let's get back to the phone lines.
Apparently, it only plays CNN. 281. Jesus, it's like trigger happy. 281, you're live on the next round.
Hi guys, how you doing? This is Nate from Houston.
Nate, what's going
on?
Hey,
how you doing, man?
Oh man, I'm just trying to come down from all that excitement from the Walters and Lomachenko fight, but. But really, you know, going into that, I was, I like Walters, and I was really hoping, Steve, that you were wrong in what your kind of prediction was for it, and so that was kind of a downer from that perspective, just the way that Walters fought.
Quick question,
given
the fact that it seemed like you were a fan of the Axeman, what is your perception of him now, and are you now of the opinion that he's persona non grata to you? Is he dead to you, or are you willing to give him a second chance?
No, I mean, I don't. He was totally outclassed, and I think that, you know, he came to that point where he just knew it, right? I mean, it was kind of over. I don't really have a problem with him quitting. I mean, it was kind of weird, you know, and it was certainly a letdown. I think, I mean, for me, I don't throw him in the trash, but he's going to have to work his way back up like you were talking about. I mean, he's going on some undercards here and there, and maybe, you know, maybe it's a televised undercard for a fight or two. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But, I mean, I really think that he's still a huge, huge player. I don't think he was really exposed so much. And you know, I don't think really the 130 had a whole lot to do with it, because it's not like Lomachenko is a 130 guy, right? He was coming up, too.
Yeah, and guys, I want to note one thing. In speaking to some people at Top Rank before the fight, all throughout the week, the official scale for that fight was held by Pete Susans, one of their employees, real good boxing guy. And what I was told is throughout the week, Nicholas Walters was basically right on weight, eating regularly.
Huh.
So he was not drained coming into November 26th.
Do you think if he would have stayed more active, does it change the fight at all? Did he look like a guy?
I don't know if
it
changes
rusty?
The fight. I mean, Gabe, I really think tall, lanky fighters, they're going to have problems dealing with a lot of movement. And I talked to Mike Rodriguez, the crime-fighting cutman, about this. I saw him at the airport. We took an Uber in together. Tall fighters generally have problems with change of direction, and they like to work in a linear fashion, in a straight line. I thought that right there was going to be a very difficult factor for Nicholas Walters, whether he had fought one time in 12 months or five times. Again, let's give credit to the guy who won. Lomachenko, he might actually be that good.
Oh, well, yeah.
No question.
I think so. And, you know, for me, to answer your question, Gabe, I think that it wouldn't have changed the winner in that fight, certainly, if Walters would have been active. I think it would have been a better fight. But
right,
I don't think
about
it would have changed the outcome.
USC got blown out in week one by Alabama, right, 52-6. Right now, I think SC is as good as any team in the country not named Alabama. But maybe Alabama is that good and better than everybody else. It happens, you know.
I think for me, the thing I wish about Walters, though, I mean, not Walters, about Lomachenko, is, I mean, I'm with everybody. I think he's awesome. He's an incredible fighter. But the thing that always gets me with him, he just doesn't go in for the kill early enough for me, right? I mean, he gets someone where he totally is dominating him, totally befuddling him, and he's still kind of let them hang around, and not really putting it out there. You listen to his dad in the corner going, you know, don't punch too hard yet. And it's just, like, too long for me before he finally does it. I mean, like, in that Walter fight, I was getting bored because, like, would you just pick up the pace and end it?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I just, for me, if he picks up the pace on that, then I'll love to watch him. And until he does, I kind of get bored with it. I mean, it's certainly not a Rigondeaux level, but.
I don't disagree, but again, remember the term that I used, evolve. He is still learning how to be a consummate true professional. He still only has 8 bouts.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I get the sense that unlike a Rigondeaux, he gets it.
Yeah,
anyway,
I totally agree. I totally
anything
agree.
Else we can do for you?
Well, you know, I just wanted to rattle Gabe's chain a little bit because I know, Gabe, that you like Donald Trump so much.
Uh-oh.
but remember during the election when all the futures were taking a dive, right? You know what happened when the market opened up the next day? It was up by 600, and now here we are a week or two later, and the Dow Jones is setting records over 19,000.
Well, here's the thing. No one ever said this election wasn't great for the bankers.
You know? Yeah, I mean,
the poor working
people
are
going to
take it in the backside. Jeez.
What happened to drain the swamp? His cabinet is actually worth $35 billion. So people voting for change, they got one elite club kicked out and another one that'll be, I think, the most corrupt and most ghoulish of all administrations besides the ones that own slaves. So we'll just wait till he comes on
we'll find out.
Tears it all apart.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of Trump, but I just thought it was kind of funny. So I yanked the chains.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much. 347-215-7598. And if you weren't able to get in last week and you want to give your Kovalev Ward thoughts, please let us know what you thought. Gabe, let's get back to the phone lines.
All right. Yeah, I mean, celebrating. You know, the two things that went up the most? The defense contractors, they did very well stock-wise, and private prisons. So, yeah, let's laugh about that. 510, you're live on the next round. 510.
Hello, or not.
Nope, I got another one. 510, you're live on the next round.
Hello, hey, Gabe, hey, Steve, how you guys doing?
Fernando, what's
up,
going
Fernando?
On?
I'm over here in the Mexican market.
Oh, yeah.
I got a quick question for you guys. Let me go. I was wondering about Tom Loeffler. Does he have any more other clients besides Triple G?
Well, he just landed Oleksandr Usyk, the WBO cruiserweight titleist, who will be making his American and HBO stateside debut December 17th underneath the Hopkins-Joe Smith fight. And, you know, K2, listen, they still have the one Klitschko that's fighting. I assume, Vladimir Klitschko, and they have a few other guys. And I think they're going to be adding a few more parts in the upcoming months.
It's in the next quarter, and I like to see him hang. I like to, it seems like right now he's going to be a boutique, but that's a good job with Triple G. I like to see, you know, more active with him boxing. Thank you for taking my phone call. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Get back to shopping. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next? Gabe, hello?
Oops, unlisted number. You're live on the next round. Unlisted number. Nope.
I guess
right.
Not.
Another unlisted number. You're live on the next round. I guess not. Well, let's wait a minute and see if the phone lines kind of fill back up because we kind of laughed.
Gabe, quick story here. Lucas Brown. The heavyweight failed another drug test. You know, Victor Conte says that when you become a drug cheat, the first thing you really morph into is a liar. What credibility does he possibly have now? I'm sorry, you've run out of excuses, man.
Yeah, at that point, it's you know, it's not a drug problem, it's a drug habit, right? You know? I mean, what do you say, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, and the promoters are hugely disappointed. And, well, you know, I mean, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I kind of went to the mat for the guy. Even, you know, I wrote a piece about he could do hair testing, and apparently, you know, I'd heard that maybe they had, and that it was inconclusive. But, you know, second time around, and I had other people that had really paid attention to his career telling me, look at his physique. It had kind of changed. And, you know, you don't get at 37, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. And there it is. You know, he gets tested positive for Osterine. It just, you did it, you know, and just cop to it. And now I don't feel so bad that he lost his title.
347-215-7598. Give us your thoughts on Lomachenko. Is he the real deal? Is he who you thought he was coming out of the Olympics? And also, if you weren't able to get in last week, give us your thoughts on Kovalev Ward. Gabe, going to the fight review real quick, one notable fight. Terry Flanagan defends his WBO 135-pound title by stopping Orlando Cruz in 8. I don't know about Flanagan. I think he's a solid guy. I think he was way too big for Orlando Cruz. If he fought Vasyl Lomachenko, let's say within 6 months, if Lomachenko decides to go up 5 pounds, who do you favor in that fight?
Oh, Lomachenko. I don't think Flanagan can deal with him. Flanagan's good, but I just think the speed, the versatility, the ability to change, you know, direction and gears. And you know, the things we want from Lomachenko is perfection, right? We want him to finish guys now. That's not too bad, you know, of a place to be where, you know, you got to just kick in an extra gear. And maybe they're, you know, him and his dad are not quite comfortable at the pro level in terms of when to step on the gas and really let it all hang out. So I can understand they're building towards that moment. I would lean heavily towards Lomachenko in that fight. Who do you like?
I think skills play out here. Flanagan has the size advantage, but I do think in terms of overall natural ability and the fact that, again, that a word, evolve. I think Lomachenko is growing right in front of our eyes as not just a talented, prodigious amateur. There's a lot of those guys. Rigondeaux is still that guy to me in a lot of ways. This guy is actually turning into something that I'm like, that's a real pro. I would favor Lomachenko, Gabe.
Yeah, there's just no question. He's past that point of like, oh, is he going to be a good pro? That's why I didn't really understand seeing some negativity about him. I just didn't understand it. What do people want? They want the perfect fighter. We do have Jimmy's Corner in the queue.
Oh, we'll just make an early appearance there. Yes.
All right. 978. Jimmy's Corner.
Hey guys, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Jimmy, welcome aboard. Pull up the stool.
What's going on? Listen, I want to address one thing that kind of bothered me. I mean, people call, you know, it's one thing to say certain things, but when you start seeing people start calling the Axeman there, Kid Walters, a coward, that shit pisses me off. Anybody steps in the ring isn't a coward. You know what I mean? That type of shit. I you know what was so weird? I actually felt bad for him, man. I don't know why. It's just at the end of the fight, I was like, wow, he was so befuddled. And Steve, I guess, like Steve, you and Dougie and the guys have been coming to sport for a long time. Anytime you've talked about Walters in any show you've been on, you've mentioned first the layoff. And like, people can't grasp. I say it all the time, and, you know, I must sound like a retard, so I constantly repeat myself. Timing is so related to how many times you fight. Like, people think Triple G wants to fight 3-4 times a year because he's either greedy or just wants the spotlight. No, because he knows. He's a smart. He's a professional fighter. He knows if you can only – listen, you've been around gyms. When you're sparring, someone catches you with a good shot, it's followed usually by, oh, shit, my bad. You get a chance to rub it off. You know what I mean? It's just so different.
Jimmy, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I remember a story when Ray Leonard – and this, again, an extreme example. When he stayed off 3 years before he came back to fight Marvin Hagler, he was in camp early days. He was taking an absolute shellacking from a young guy out of Texas. Ended up becoming a belt holder at 160. His name was Quincy Taylor, big, strong southpaw. And Ray Leonard, who I think was an absolute natural, was born to do this. He actually said, you had to learn how to get hit again. You had to learn how to take the leather on your face.
Absolutely.
Think about that. And that's Ray Leonard. And
absolutely,
when you're facing a supreme tactician with the physical skills and the boxing IQ of Vasyl Lomachenko, you don't want to go in there rusty.
Absolutely. This kid, I'm telling you right now, he's skill for skill, footwork, timing, speed, You mix everything. How can anybody say anybody? He's the best boxer, I think, right now on the planet. All around, everything is the best. Just actually no comparison. If you just watch this, it's actually, he made that kid who is an excellent fighter, right? An excellent world-class fighter just look so, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was just got to the point, and I understand the other caller saying after a while it got monotonous, but you could see him round by round figuring him out. And they listened to his father at the end of this, I think going into the sixth round, when his father, first thing he said, listen, what did I tell you about letting him hit you? We talked about this. You know what I mean? Like getting upset because I think, you know, Walter's made some shots on him. You know what I mean? Just like that ultimate perfection. You can just see that's how what they're going for. But, yeah, no, that kid is, it's just unbelievable. Walters has to, you know, and I'm a sole believer everybody deserves a second shot in life for everything. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He has to earn it. You know what I mean? He has to earn it. He has to maybe even do some off-TV stuff, you know, bite the bullet, show that he's willing to fight. And this is my opinion. I could be completely off, guys, but I think, honestly, at the end of the sixth round, remember when Lampley said, ooh, he just used off balance there? I think he was really rocked. I think Lomachenko really rocked him at the sixth round. And I remember when Lomachenko pointed to him as he was walking away, and, you know, he was like, you know.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Top-ranked publicist Lee Samuels, who went into the ring to talk to Walters to get some quotes for us, he said that Walters explained to him he got hit on the temple with the left hand, and that affected his equilibrium. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was starting to get hurt. I mean, I don't know if anybody else saw, but when he went back to the corner that last time, I thought to myself, and Dave actually tweeted out, like, he looks like he's all done. And a few people, even in your column, Steve, you said Robert Garcia, the trainer, was there on press row. Everybody saw that. Yeah, I was like, if this guy goes out, Lomachenko's going to knock him out. He's starting to hurt him, and he's starting to snap his head around a little bit. You could see it, you know, and that's – for a world-class guy, it's weird because, like, Max is sitting there waxing, you know, about the guy. Maybe it's a little bit of a layoff. I think it's probably a lot of that is a factor. But also, I just think Lomachenko is that good. He's that razor sharp, and he'd be a problem on any night. He might be winning in a different way if the Axeman is more sharp. But he's still gonna beat the guy, I think.
No, absolutely. No, I agree. And, I read that, too. Robert Garcia was behind you in press row saying that. He saw it in his face. You could see it. Yeah, he was a beaten fighter. And it just sucks. It's the nature of the beast. If you really look at it, it's really disgusting. The fact, you know, like it's, hey, everybody paid a lot of money to be here, man. You got to get out there and, you know, at least get knocked out. But that's the game. That's the thing you signed up for. You can't, you know, that's a big thing. It's a lot of money, a lot of people involved. And to go out, and when you haven't been hurt yet, you might have been rung, your bell might have been rung. But to know, you're basically stopping because you know what's about to happen. You know what I mean? At least I'm glad he didn't. And you know what? I kind of say, hey, he manned up and he didn't say, oh, I hurt my hand. You know, he didn't pull one of those bullshit things. He straight up just said, yeah, no, it wasn't me, man. Did you see what's going on, man? I'm getting my ass beat, man. He's telling him basically, right?
Yeah. Couldn't get anything going.
So, you know, I could understand. But I would have liked to see one more round, at least one round of saying, fuck it. I'm just going to see if I can catch him coming in. Put my head down and throw some, you know, Madonna over the top type shots, and hopefully I catch him, because that, you know, at least one round of that. But no, Lomachenko's, and I never told my score. I matched Letterman's. I tweeted it out at the end of Kovalev Ward. I had the identical score as Letterman. That was just disgusting. And you know what? I tweeted out, you know, the next day too. And I believe Trobridge and all those guys. You see their age. I still think. I mean. Hard to say corruption in anybody's spot.
So in other words, they're like the Justice Ruth Ginsburg. They're about that age.
You know what I mean, dude? I still think they're looking at it like he's the golden fucking Olympic boy, and this was the, you know, the Russian bear come over here. I cannot. The 10th round, how could all three of them give him the 10th round? That's just a physical impossibility. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? I'd like to sit down.
I've seen some of these guys in person. What's that? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I said I would like you to sit down with just one of those judges and just go over and just tell me what. And you're sitting right there. I understand sometimes the referee's in your way. You might miss a shot here and there. But other than that, you got the best fucking seat in the house. You're seeing everything. I think they were going off the sounds of the crowd because anything fucking, you know, Ward did got an ooh and an ah. And I just think the whole American thing played a lot into it. Because I cannot, for the life of me, see how he could have scored that for him. And I didn't really have a dog in that fight. I just wanted a good fight. I really didn't care either way. I got pissed because I saw the kid who deserved the win didn't get it. You know, but. So, listen.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's just frustrating to watch, you know, and you it's all perception, though. I think maybe the crowd that listens to our show is not very ward friendly. And so we're all looking at what Kovalev is doing because that's the style that we like. But even that, I saw the fight twice, saw it on, you know, sober the second time. And I had, you know, a close fight, but it just didn't have the fight that where Ward won it. I just don't see that. But,
well,
you know, that's me.
And I've given it some thought about this whole thing. There's a kind of a separation, you know, the whole, you know, people listen to this show and have. But if you really look at it, and because you're not always like that, Gabe, you don't tend to go one way or another. You're very open about it all. What it is I think the people who follow this show and follow Steve, they just expect an honest effort. I mean, look at Salido. Steve gives Salido as many props as any fighter alive, and the kid's got, what, 11 losses?
I
mean, you know,
like 13,
right?
Actually.
But because he shows up and he fights, he gives an honest effort. And I've never yet to hear Steve shit on a fighter who's given an honest effort. Or, you know what I mean? It's all what it's about.
Right.
And
he's not cheating the fans.
Exactly. And I think what happens is that people listen to the show, that's all wrong. We don't want to see fucking Texas, you know, sitting in your Learjet and, you know what I mean? You know, just the bullshit. Just fight, you know, and... But anyways, gentlemen, listen, thanks as usual for taking my call. I'm sure you got people behind me. So, Steve, enjoy all your stuff. Hey, Gabe, when did you just come back from the South? Were you traveling, family, or?
Yeah, I was traveling in the South for family.
Nice.
The
nice.
Annual Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's, you know,
excellent.
It's like a 10-acre farm, man. You get to wander around in the woods and,
nice.
And do your thing. But, you know, just don't go out at night.
All right, so listen, you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jimmy,
bye,
thank you very much. If
all
you
right,
want to call in, 347-215-7598. It's the next round on the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network with Gabe Montoya and Steve Kim. Gabe, anyone else on the line?
Yeah, we got 858. It's your line. Hello?
Hello. Hello.
And I think we lost 858. Mm. Yeah, I think we cleared the board. I kind of threw us with this odd Tuesday, but I did want to get into a little bit of this. What do you think of this card this weekend with Jose Ramirez?
Oh, it's interesting. Jose Ramirez is not fighting Gabe Brasero. He just kind of like disappeared into Bolivian. He's got a new opponent. Also on this card is Danny Valdivia and Esquivia Falco. Now, this is at the Save Mart Center. Gabe, on my bucket list for next year, and again, I'm going to have a very busy schedule on the road, I am making it a priority to go out to one of these events being run by Rick Merizian. This kid's going to draw about 15,000 on Friday night. That's amazing.
Yeah.
For a kid that's on Unimas, I mean, really, I've never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, he's really something, and he's, you know, he's all about clean water and that whole movement there in the Central Valley. Those are his people, you know, agriculture. And he could fight. He's articulate. He's been on ESPN. They've got him a lot of exposure. Rick has done a really fantastic job marketing the guy at a grassroots level, and then at the ESPN level, getting him on there as a commentator when he was just an Olympian. I got to watch Danny Valdivia fight. A spar against Julian Williams. He's one of the two guys they brought in for Julian's mini camp here last week. And that kid's, he's really fun to watch, man. He can move. He can take it as well as give it. He counters, but also can lead. I like his movement and the way he fights. He fights tall, big rangy kid. He's got a definite future. I want to see him grow as well. But Ramirez, I'm kind of looking at this like Fresno's kind of close to me. If not this year, then I'll meet up with you in Fresno next year.
Yeah, and Gabe, and we talk about how does Aram make sure that Lomachenko, and again, he's Ukrainian, and unlike Klitschko, he's not a heavyweight, so this is going to be a little bit trickier than just loading him up at the Garden and expecting 18,000. But if Jose Ramirez is ready to have a quote-unquote real fight,
yeah,
have the fight at Save Mart Center, make the main event Lomachenko, and voila, now you got a huge audience that can enjoy the skills of Lomachenko. See, that's how you get creative and you stretch dates, in my opinion. Much like the way Tom Loeffler, when he fought Marco Antonio Rubio, which, you know, a lot of people weren't that excited about it, but he had a hook, Donaire Walters. There's more than one way to skin a cat here, Gabe.
I think so. I think that would be a nice compliment, those two guys. And you know, Ramirez, I don't know, do you think he's top shelf?
No,
I mean,
you know what?
He's obviously a draw.
Do I think he has an incredibly high ceiling? No. I do think that if he works really hard, which he does, I kind of look at him as Juan Baby Bull Diaz 2.0. Light-hitting guy, has to be well-conditioned, and has to really be a volume puncher. May not ever really be quite elite, but you never know. He might win a belt, and if you win a belt at that level, at that market of Fresno, you're a franchise. There is money to be made and events to be had.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely love him. You know, he's somebody I need to go cover just because he's a bit of a phenomenon. I haven't really seen anything like it, and a Central Valley star like that. So it can be very exciting. I mean, do they move him from Fresno to Los Angeles, or do they bring him
to
the Bay Area?
Fresno,
Oakland?
This is his version of Omaha for Terrence Crawford. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the hook. I mean, outside of Fresno State sports, namely football and basketball, there's really no other game in town. And if you look at Omaha, there's Nebraska Cornhusker football, and there's Terrence Crawford. Gabe, Estrella Ring TV, we go back to the Belasco Theater this Friday night. Abraham Lopez takes on Sergio Lopez. Also on the card are prospects Oscar Negrete and Nico Valdez. But, Gabe, what I think is the fight of the weekend, and something that I think is going to be a very fun, explosive, brutal fight for the cruiserweight titles of the WBA and the IBF, Denis Lebedev against Murat Gassiev. Man your ships, man your ships. We have cruiserweight action.
It's going to be bombs away. You know, Gassiev 23-0 with 17 knockouts, 6'3.5", 76-inch reach. Lebedev, he's got two losses, one by stoppage, but 29 wins, 22 KOs, and just an all-out go-for-broke style. He's a 5'11 southpaw, natural to the weight, just a big bruiser of a guy with real power. Both guys have real power. I lean towards Gassiev in this, but Lebedev is battle-tested, man, and he's got experience and durability and really frightening power. I'm going Gassiev, but I'm not that crazy about my pick.
So am I. I think youth shall be served, but Lebedev is experienced. He is hardened, and we don't know what happens when Gassiev touches Lebedev on the chin and nothing happens. How does he react? I know that Abel Sanchez calls him his cruiserweight version of Golovkin. We shall see. Can he swim in deep waters? And also in Scotland for the WBO middleweight title, we think for now, it has not been postponed yet, and we can't make any promises, but Billy Joe Saunders defends his title against Arthur Akhovov. We hope, we think, we pray.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. You never know.
I'm not going to make a pick. I'm just going to say that he shows up.
You know what? I'm going to predict it. I'm going to go on a limb. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. December 3rd, Saturday is going to happen. That's my pick right there. Saturday is going to happen. 347-215-7598. Gabe, is there anyone on the phone lines, or are we going to an 8-round show today?
No, we go 530. You're live on the next round. We have a couple.
Hi, guys. It's Mike from Auburn.
Mike, what's going on? How you been?
Well, I've been good. A couple of things. Can anybody tell me why, whenever we talk about pound for pound, the question always comes up, who has he fought? Why do we look at pound for pound on the basis of resume? And
isn't
not
that
on
a part
of
it, though?
Skills?
I mean, if you look at college football, a lot of it is strength of schedule. I kind of think that matters, don't you, Mike? Or not?
Actually, I think it matters when it comes to ranking within the divisions, and I think it obviously matters when it comes to the Hall of Fame. But I also think that if we talk about pound for pound, it's really who's the best fighter, or another way of looking at it, well, we'll use the Max Kellerman, Gabe, this one's for you. Well, the Max Kellerman criteria.
Thank you, Mike.
Who would you least want to fight if you were a fighter and weight was taken out of the equation, if you all weighed the same?
Mm-hmm.
Just straight up
really
style. I mean, if you're going to be making shit up, I kind of agree with you. You know, if it's just like an Einstein thought experiment, then it should just be this. What is the most difficult style, maybe the most malleable style out of everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're headed? I know it is.
And I would love to see a fight at the same weight. This is really esoteric. Between Lomachenko and Golovkin, and just look at the way those two guys use their footwork. Lomachenko would be spinning, and Lomachenko is particularly good at spinning and attacking from a different angle, and Golovkin is particularly good at keeping the opponent right in front of him where he can hit him. I think watching that would be a really interesting experience.
I'm of the belief that with Lomachenko, if you're not the aggressor and you don't set the distance and you react to his movements instead, you have no shot. I'll tell you, Walters looked like a deer in the headlights, and when Lomachenko came out with those dizzying feints and the double jabs and the feints, then he'd slide out the trap door on the left side. I mean, literally, Walters did not know where the guy went.
Walters allowed him to get off first at every opportunity. And that's unfortunate when you've got a guy who's known as a puncher.
Right. You can't let a guy like Lomachenko get into rhythm and just stay there. And Walters never did anything different. Just kind of followed around, occasionally tried a different combination of single shots, you know, or double shots, and then just faded into oblivion. What do you think about him quitting or stopping?
I've got mixed feelings, and I tend to give him – I look at it and compare it to the No Mas fight. If everybody got completely down on Roberto Duran and never had any interest in seeing him fight after that fight, they would have missed some really good fights.
Right,
but
it has to be noted, though, and I've said this on other platforms, Duran, before No Mas, was a first-ballot Hall of Famer who had given us great memories and was a huge draw. Walters really isn't that guy. I don't know if he has that cachet to fall back on.
No, and I'm with Jimmy, I think, in the sense that I would have liked to have seen him at least go out and give it a round and try like hell to hit Lomachenko instead of being completely reactionary and waiting for Lomachenko to hit him and to see what he can do from there. So I'm disappointed, but I wouldn't completely write him off either. I'd like to see him have a chance to at least reestablish himself. But, you know, no question, it's really, really damaging to his career to go out the way he did go out. And I think a lot of it is, even though he was probably hurt in the seventh round, it didn't
judging
really come
across by Arum's tone and his comments in speaking to me yesterday about Walters, he'll be given another shot to rebuild this career. I don't think he'll be put on the waiver wire immediately by Top Rank. That's the sense that I get.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'd like to see him have an opportunity.
And who says Bob Arum doesn't have a heart?
I would never say that.
A lot of other people would, though.
I am kind of thinking that it's about time for you to do another Monday interview with Tom Loeffler.
Oh, we need to get him in. You know, I'll see Tom tomorrow. I don't know if he wants to do that yet, but I could always ask.
That would be nice. And it's going back a couple of weeks to the Ward and Kovalev fight. I had the fight at the time that I watched, the live fight. I had it at around 116, 111. And so I was frankly stunned when they announced the decision. I did watch it again the next day, and I have to admit I moderated my score a little bit. I had it 115 and a half to 111.5.
You're a flexible man, Mike. You are very, very flexible man. I give you credit.
No, seriously, I could argue that Ward could, you could score Ward winning five rounds.
At most. Could you imagine what people would think of that fight if it was Kovalev who got hit with so many square jabs? There's this video that I saw on Facebook put out by Artorias Boxing that actually broke down every landed punch. And this guy must have taken a lot of time to do this. It was striking how dominant Kovalev's jab was. And that is the very essence of boxing, last I checked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just, I found myself thinking that if, what an interesting fight it might be to see if Ward stays at light heavy, time freezes, we don't have fights in the interim, and Gennady Golovkin decides to go up to 175 and fight Ward. Because I think if they fought at anywhere close to the same weight, it wouldn't be pretty.
Wow. So you like Golovkin big in that? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe not big going up to 175. But if they were within shouting distance of the same weight, I think I do like him big after seeing that.
Mm. By the way, guys, are you a little bit distressed by some of the comments of Andre Ward? I get the sense, rematch clause be damned, this is not going to be an easy process for Kathy Duva and Igis Klimas moving forward.
Well, I would be more distressed if I expected anything other than that from Andre Ward. But
I really,
the first thought I had after that was Kovalev's going to play hell trying to get him back in the ring.
Yeah.
He's gonna try to get Kovalev at the right time when he wants it after a defense. I mean, for a guy that likes to punch you and then clinch you, just think about negotiating with a guy with that kind of base mentality. Brutal. I can't think of there are very few jobs I would want to do less than that job. Negotiating the fight.
Look at the bright side, Gabe. If he does give him the rematch, it'll be a short commute for both of us if we want to go to the fight there at Oracle.
Yes, seriously.
Oh,
that was one of my first thoughts. Yeah, I'm like, well, I'll go to that fight, you know, if it's just in the East Bay.
But I kind of hope that Jack Reese might be a good candidate for the referee if they do fight in California.
Mm. Well, I don't know if he could be any more less involved than Robert Byrd. Let's just put it that way. Mike, anything else?
Guys, I don't want to take up any more time.
All right, Mike,
good
thank
to talk
you very
with
much.
You as always.
Hope you had a good holiday. Thank you very much. 347-215-7598. If you want to send us a tweet, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya.
Let's go with, I think, our last caller, 510. You're live on the next round.
Hey, this is Fernando again.
Oh, Fernando, are you done shopping?
Yeah, no, I'm at the gas station.
Oh, okay. All right. So anything else you want to add?
I do got another question. Hello?
No,
yes, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, man. Yeah, I was wondering about you know what? I just threw a blank. I got money at the gas station. But thank you for picking up on me again, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Let me go with the last 510, and I think we might be done. 510, you're live on the next round.
Steve, Gabe, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, this is Russ Pettit, R3, Gabe.
What's up, man?
Not much, dude. I'm not teaching guitar today, so I'm at home for a change. But I sent you a tweet, Steve. I found something interesting about that Jacobs isn't signed up for the VADA testing by the WBC.
Really?
Well, it's listed that way on BoxRec. And I'm just wondering if that's the case. I wonder if that's what's holding the fight up.
Wow.
You know?
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe. It'd be great if you could somehow ask Mr. Tom Loeffler about that. Of course, he probably won't want to answer that yet.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I mean, and Triple G, I mean, his last few fights, right, his last two or three have been VADA fights. So I wonder if they've already crossed that.
Yeah.
I think Danny's done drug testing before. I'm pretty sure he's done USADA. You could look on the database for USADA and just type in Danny's name, and it'll bring up the fights that he's had tested. That's what I was told by somebody at USADA. That's how they do it. You know, so any fighter, type their name in, and you'll get their record. That's interesting. I just imagine because Tom seems to be, you know, and Triple G seem to be Vada guys at this point, that they've already crossed that. But I don't know. Steve knows him better than I. So
I'll bring it up with him tomorrow. I don't know if he wants to go on the record with anything, but it is interesting. I mean, wasn't one of PBC's many promises about 2 years ago that everyone's going to be in a year-round drug testing program? Didn't they say that to us?
They did.
That's what I thought they said, yeah.
Yeah, huh.
Well,
wow.
It was interesting because, like, you know, I know, like, a couple Mayweather fighters have signed up for VADA testing, like Ishae Smith and somebody else. His name escapes me. But I'm thinking, well, remember Leonard Ellerbe said that before the Canelo fight. We're going to put all our fighters in 365 testing. Like, well, why are they signing up to another program that's 365 testing if they're already in one? Oh, I guess they weren't. Yeah, that's,
right.
That's one of my takeaways from last week with the rescoring and all that, is that everybody was so outraged about the judges, like media, fans, about their scores, but then they were, you know, on this next fight the next week, two of them, everybody was outraged. But where's the follow-up? Like, where's the in-depth story about these guys scoring? Like, where's the people hounding them? That's what I'd like to see. Because, the fight game, one of their first episodes was about Bradley Pacquiao scoring. We always get incensed about it, but we don't do anything about it. But anyways, anything else, Russ?
No, I was just curious, because doesn't Triple G, now that he signed up, doesn't he have to do that for every fight now? Is that the way it works?
I think if you're in the top 15 or a champion, you've got to be in the program, and it's year round, you know, in order to be ranked and hold standing with the WBC. So he's year round at this point. Yeah.
Right. And for the record, I had SK up. I had Kovalev winning 7-5. So
you are on the record. That's 115-112. That seems to be the consensus.
I know some guys from this other boxing forum that I go to once in a while. Some guys had Ward winning 8 rounds. I'm just kind of I couldn't believe some of the scores that these guys had. Yeah. So
it's that thing, though. You know, if there's nothing happening, then Ward gets the round, sort of like Floyd and Danny Garcia. Is that what it is?
Right. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, he didn't land anything to really hurt Kovalev. I mean, some of the body shots look like they bothered, but didn't look like he put a whole bunch of pain in Kovalev's face. Was really clean at the end of the fight. So,
yeah.
I mean, again, I think a lot of things speak for themselves.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
All right, listen, call in again. Don't be a stranger. Gabe, is there anyone else, or are we calling this an 8-rounder tonight?
No, actually, we're starting to light up a little bit.
Oh, 786,
you're live on the next round. 786.
Steve, Gabe, what's going on?
Hey,
what's up?
It's Chris O'Man. How's it going, Steve?
Good, strong, solid finish to our season. Too bad that the Miami offense went through its own Darktober.
Yeah, but you know what? I was, since I'm a boxing fan, I was telling my friend about this. I said, you know, the Canes, we got a winning record, but we got our wins from, you know, we padded our record by winning, you know, the guys that were supposed the tomato cans that we're supposed to beat. I mean, the best win we got this season, I think, was against Pitt.
Yeah, or Appalachian State. Listen, the way I look at it, if Mark Richt runs the offense that he should have, which is shotgun spread, right, instead of this RPO and I formation, I think Miami could have won 10-11 games very easily. Listen, they're 21 points from losing one game. Think about that.
It's very frustrating. I can't believe we lost to the Irish. Like, I didn't even watch
that. I was there, yeah.
But,
anyway, what's going on? What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Lomachenko and Walters fight, and I remember I called a couple weeks ago, and I predicted that Lomachenko was going to beat Walters by TKO, because I think really this fight was made because the inactivity of Walters. That's the reason why I think the fight got signed. I believe that Walters was offered $500K at 126 or at 130. Do you remember?
Well, what was that question again?
Walters was originally offered $500,000 from.
I believe that fight was still going to be at 130 because remember last year prior to the Mariaga fight, he failed to make 126 and he lost his WBA featherweight title on the scales. I was at that fight.
Okay, so then originally he was going to get $500,000 and supposedly he got $300K. So and also he's been so inactive and I guess Walters was just. He was in a tough spot, you know. He had to make a move, you know. It's as a boxer, you know, you have to make money. I don't know how his financial, if he saves money or not, but I think he got desperate, and you know, it showed. You know, watching him fight, I know like these fights that I'm gonna bring up. A lot of fighters were shot at the time, but this fight has to be up there with like Bradley and Rios and Rios and Alvarado III. Mikey Garcia against Wama, you know, fighters that just didn't show up, you know, like you can tell that they just weren't there. Like, you know, I saw Walter snap on the punches and I'm the same guy. I know I give credit to Lomachenko. The kid is a great talent. You know, maybe he makes any other 130 pounder, but to tell you the truth, I think Walters would have lost to any of the top five contenders at 130 that night. He just didn't look. He didn't look. I don't know why he just didn't look there. Something was off on the axe, man. But you know,
you know. Can I just tell you something? When he beat Donaire, he started to believe he had made it. And I know some people that were around that situation. They tried to tell him, Nick, the hard work begins now. But he went to Jamaica, got the Sportsman of the Year. He put on a lot of weight. He dumped his old manager that financed his career. Did not show a lot of loyalty. You know what? Sometimes you get what you deserve. You do
man,
it to yourself.
I hope it's not the last we hear about the Axeman because I won't be surprised if he retires, you know, or hopefully he bounces back from this and you know, that's a lot of people write off fighters, you know, oh, this guy quit and he's a quitter. But you know what? So did Duran. And Duran, after he quit against Leonard, he had a heck of a resume after that. You know, you can't write off these fighters. And I'm a boxing fan, so I hope Walters comes back. But now talking about Lomachenko, Steve, I want to ask you a question. What I wanted to know is, do you think Top Rank, since they know they have, you know, a star, not, let's not say a pay-per-view star yet, because look at the numbers of Cole, Love, and Ward, but do you think Top Rank, little by little, Bob would put Lomachenko in against get titles at different weight classes again?
That's what they want. I mean, Egas Klimas told me the day after the Rocky Martinez fight this past June, their goal is to win three major titles within 10 fights. So if that's the truth, sooner rather than later, they're going to be at 35.
Yeah,
and you never know. If he's that good, maybe he wins one at 40. That's going to be one of the promotional hooks about Lomachenko, that they are going to go belt hunting early and often.
It's not Lomachenko's fault because, you know, he's the fighter. But I think Aram is going to put him in against the weakest 135 champ there is. They're going to offer that guy, whoever it is, a lot of money. Another thing is that they mention Vargas, which is a guy that's coming off back-to-back wars, also inactive. They want to – Aram also said he wants a rematch with Salido. Salido is that car that has bald tires, got a shot transmission, shot engine, beat
300,000 miles on the odometer.
300 miles, yeah, and also they got no power windows. Power windows are not working. It's like I know he's the boogeyman.
Kind of describing my Corolla at the very end. Jeez.
I know he's the boogeyman, but come on. Like, seriously, like, I don't want to see Siri – get a beating from Lomachenko. Like, I really don't.
Well, they seem to want
the
fight. I mean, again, I think the Miura fight, when he injured his back, it went to Bolivian. May not have any other options at this point.
There's one guy that I truly believe would have gave Lomachenko a hell of a fight. And that fight will never happen because between the beef of Aram and Mikey Garcia, to me, I think would have gave a hell of a fight to Lomachenko. Whether it be at 135, at 140. Mikey Garcia is a special talent. To me, he's one of the great finishers in boxing. But another thing, Steve, inactivity. These boxers are so inactive that you can't complain after you lose a fight like Walters. Oh, but Aram didn't give me fights. I don't know what's the backstory, but you got to get fights in, whether it be in Panama, Jamaica, wherever. You know, I don't understand these fighters. And I saw that you posted on Twitter of De La Hoya's 1999 fight schedule. He had I Corte, Olvar Sarr, and he finished off
Trinidad.
Can you believe that? Like, when my friend showed me that, I was like,
oh, man.
This day and age, if they would, if he would have fought Corte with that war that they went through, he would have took the year off, or he put it fought a little softy. Am I lying?
No.
And his fights were always, you know, I'm a Tito guy, but you know, I grew up in that era, and when Oscar was fighting, we had parties. We didn't miss Oscar fights. They were always good, and they were always tough. These guys today, man, they didn't where they should have. Or certainly not, you know. Like Mikey Garcia, I agree with you. That's a tough style matchup. He's a sniper, knows how to use the jab, good technique, functional speed, and real power, and a high ring IQ. Him and Lomachenko would be a great fight.
And it's going to be one of those mythical matchups, you know, that we're going to have to talk about again. And it sucks. And I don't want to see Lomachenko and Crawford. I don't want to see Crawford. I think Crawford destroyed.
Well, they're two weight classes from each other. I mean, again, let's stay within weight classes. Last I checked, they're
kind
of important.
When I hear these talks about Crawford and Pacquiao, I got to tell my friend, yo, relax, pump the brakes, and you know, let Lomachenko take his business in 130, 135, because I really think that Lomachenko is a special talent, but he. Tell me, let me ask you something. Do you think that seventh round, do you think he really hurt Waters? Because the first six rounds, really nothing really happened.
Well, I think he hurt him enough that he said he's going to wave the white flag. I think something happened there, you know.
That's just weird. But I think he lacks the power. Lomachenko lacks the power. And at 135, 140, you know, it's going to take top rank to really match him well in order to make him a 3-4-time weight division champion, which I guess that's Aram and Top Rank's plan. Because,
well,
you know,
there's different types of power, too. I mean, I love the way he fights in that. It's almost like that kind of James Kirkland pace where Lomachenko starts off very fast and then gets into a sprint. And he's constantly throwing punches, constantly keeping you busy, moving, and mixing in hard shots with light shots. He tires you out. He flusters you. I think, you know, Walters got into the red, essentially, and just malfunctioned. I did think he, like Steve said later early on in the show, that he got caught on a temple and that threw his equilibrium off. You could see him. He kind of runs away or jogs away from Lomachenko at one point.
Yeah,
I did see that. You know?
I saw that.
It's a different kind of thing. It's you know, the flailing bird. You get a guy moving backwards to the point where he looks like a flailing bird, and he just doesn't know what to do anymore, and you get overwhelmed. I think that's where Walters was.
And, Steve, I want to talk about quickly about the pay-per-view numbers. Can we please stop now after Cole's numbers came in? Can we please stop with the Triple G sold only 90K?
Well, first of all, that's a number that was put out there. You know,
okay.
I just find it interesting that some members of the demographic, they look at this and, oh, that did well, and the other one didn't, and they're basically the same number. It's interesting, the narrative that come about. It's very interesting.
I know Roc Nation lost a lot of money because I know they had to pay Ward, and I know those numbers did not. Let's put it this way.
Main events most likely turned a profit. I don't think the same could be said of Roc Nation Sports.
Now, so in the future, knowing that promoters are knowing that the well is getting dry, do you see, like, future pay-per-views, knowing that guys like Crawford and Lomachenko are still not there, you know, to sell 200,000, 300,000? Do we see, like, an actual stacked card, like Lomachenko against Tito as
no.
on the card? Or,
well, listen,
nope.
Bob is talking about doing a show in March with Lomachenko, Magdaleno, Oscar Valdez. But, I mean, the matchups may not be very good, but he's using that as a vehicle to keep these guys more active. But every pay-per-view show has a budget. Now, I hate to burst anyone's bubble. The days of Revenge of the Rematches is over.
Right, I'm sorry, see, no Mikey Garcia, but how about a Lomachenko, Oscar Valdez? I know they fought in the amateur.
Well, again, they're at different weight classes, and I don't think that Valdez is ready for that fight. Listen, we got to get running, okay? Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Gabe, should we call it a night here?
One more. Let's end it at 8:05, and then we'll wrap it up. Nacho, you're live on the
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good, Nacho. Go.
As far as the fight this past weekend, it sucks that Walters quit and everything, but it's kind of like a few people have said, it's like the inactivity and everything else. You can't blame anybody for that except yourself. Doesn't he have another promoter in Panama also? Isn't he being co-promoted?
I think he's co-promoted by Warriors. Warriors Boxing with Leon Margulies, which probably meant that Al Haymon was probably in his ear the whole time.
Well, what do you think about that, Steve? I heard that somebody had said that, tweeted that at me, that Walters was basically benched for not taking the Lomachenko fight earlier, and he was like frozen out, and that somehow it was Top Rank's fault that this went down. But I had heard like what you just said, that he had whispers in his ear and was looking around and got benched potentially because of that. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, listen, I have no sympathy for Walters. I'm not going to call him a quitter. I'm not going to call him gutless. He put himself in that own position. What he did to his manager, I thought was bad. He did not show any loyalty to a guy that financed his career. I have no use for people like that. I get it. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. Oh, my God, poor fighters. You know what? A lot of them are thieves. Can we be honest about it? They are scoundrels. They're the worst people in boxing sometimes are the fighters. Hate to burst anyone's bubble, but old Steve Kim's got to tell the truth. Fighters do it to themselves. I believe Nicholas Walters is the latest example. And if that makes me a bad guy, if being honest is bad, then I'm bad. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, on the undercard, McCombie blew out Donovan George. Is he just being built up for somebody, or is he legit?
Well, we don't know. Donovan George didn't look like he really trained for that fight or anything. I don't know. McCombie's marketable, good-looking guy, has some power. But even within the Top Rank offices, they want to know, what do we have here? What do we have? Well, we're going to find out,
like,
Nacho. Let's see him fight.
He kind of looks like Corey Hart from that I Wear My Sunglasses at Night. A little
love
bit.
That song.
I mean,
great one-hit wonder of the 80s. I'm sorry. That's a good song.
Yeah. He does. He kind of looks like him. He's marketable.
Yeah, he does.
He looks a little raw to me. A good boxer with a good move and a jab. Ordinary.
Yeah, he still needs some work for sure because he just kind of blitzed George and got him out of there, but he didn't look like his technique was all that great. I think he definitely needs some work.
Remember this,
though.
He's still only 23. He's been a pro a very long time. Still only 23. Yes, I was surprised. Mike Rodriguez worked that corner. He pointed that out to me, and I was stunned. I thought he was like 26, 27, Gabe.
I remember when he turned pro. Wasn't he part of the guys that, like Cameron Duncan?
Yeah, Cameron
rolled
Duncan
out
still
to Golden Boy. Yeah, and he rolled him out to Golden Boy. Remember they had like a ton of guys, like young talent.
Yeah.
I watched him train. I watched him fight at Fight Night Club. That's a long time ago. I didn't realize he was that young.
Yeah.
Well, then he's right on time then.
Yeah.
Who do you guys got in the Lebedev-Gassiev fight this weekend?
I got Gassiev, but I wouldn't put my house on it.
Same pick. I mean, and this is one of those ones that people are going to get touched on the chin, and how they handle it is going to be the story of the fight. And how Gassiev, who's not gone a whole hell of a lot of rounds, I think, in comparison – how is he going to fare if the fight goes deep?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't knock out Lebedev in the first five or six rounds, he might be in trouble, to be honest.
Right,
I
we don't
Lebedev
know
might
how
get him.
He swims in deep water. That's the whole
exactly.
key to this fight.
Did Fortune prepare Lebedev for this fight?
Well, Fortune and Freddie Roach are out there, and Lebedev was a constant presence in the downstairs portion of Wild Cards. I'm assuming he did.
He's the right fit for Justin. The way Justin trains and the way he likes to throw the hooks and go to the body and bull, that's a nice little team there. I mean, what are the odds on this fight? I think I have to find a little online action for it. Not that I bet on fights. Anything else, Nacho?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw Did you guys see that Luis Abrego retired?
Boxing will move on. Don't really care.
Yeah, brutal. That was yeah, that's tough. And also, do you guys have any like inside info about what's going on with this Nick Blackwell incident where they said he went and sparred somebody?
Well, the bottom line is this. Whoever allowed that, they should be punished with some sort of manslaughter, some criminal charges, have their license taken away. Honestly. How reckless is that?
Well, his trainer, I think it, you know, whoever it was that oversaw that. I mean, dude, you give a guy, like Pacquiao took a year off after getting knocked out. You should take a year off. They're 8 months removed from being induced coma to protect his brain. Like, what are you doing?
I mean you're not even allowed to spar after getting knocked out in America for like a period of time. I'm just stunned by the stupidity of this. And I don't want to be harsh about it, but quite frankly, they deserve all the derision coming their way for this action.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was terrible that they allowed this guy to get in the ring after everything that he went through with that Eubank fight. So, yeah, I just can't believe it. And last thing, is it true that John David Jackson's training Hopkins for his last fight?
That seems to be the word on the internet, and so I guess that's to be believed.
That's pretty cool.
Did he have a falling out with Richardson?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask Bernard.
Okay.
All right, Nacho, thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
Gabe, we got 90 minutes in. I think we're good.
I think we're good. Yeah.
All right, so next week we'll be back on our regularly scheduled time at 7 o'clock Eastern on Monday. So on behalf of Gabriel Montoya, this is Steve Kim saying till the next round, goodbye, everybody.